We're gonna, the next time we have a 125th celebration, we're going to do things my way, which is going to be the day after, the day after we're going to do it my way, which is going to be I'm going to speak first, because it's really bad going last after everybody else gets to say how great last night was. There's not much you can add to it. Let me just say this. You hear me preach, you hear me speak about team all the time. There are moments where it just all comes together and it makes sense. Whether you think you played a small role or you think you played a big role, it all comes together and it gets done. And the results, I hope that some of you got a chance to listen last night to some of the comments from people who nothing to do with our family at the moment. They were part of the family before or at one point, or they were just visiting. But the comments from those people of how they felt taken care of, how they felt welcomed, how they felt like they were part of something, that's all you guys. That's what we want to be about, and that's what being a team is all about. It's not about what you think about the role you're playing. It's that you play the role. Does that make sense? And that's what we've been talking about for the last few weeks when we've been talking about Lord of the Dance. We've been talking about, listen, it's not whether or not you think your dance step is important or whether it's not, whether you would wish for somebody else's dance step. It's whether or not you played your role. Right? So last night, every part of what happened came because somebody was playing a role. Somebody did their dance step. And every once in a while, we get it right and you see the dance. And you feel the results of the dance. And so last night when I went around and I asked people who strategically have invested a lot over the last few weeks in this whole 125th, they said, are you happy? And I got, I'm very happy. I'm extremely happy. I'm super happy. Those moments come from moments when we all do the part that we're supposed to do. And that's been the whole idea behind this whole talk in James, is to say, hey, there's a way that we can put this all together and everybody wins. We live in a society today where it's more of this philosophy. Let's put it all together and I'll win. Where I want to be the team, not be on the team. I want to control the team. I don't want to be a part of the team. And that's modern day world. And you see the difference between doing it Christ's way, doing it Jesus' way. Jesus said, and again, I think Don, and we don't talk, but I think he like has ESP and he figures out what I'm going to preach, and then he does a Sunday school class on it. Right, because he took about 80% of what I wanted to say today. He just took it. And so I can say it because most of you weren't there, but it's going to sound to Don like I just copied what he did. And I didn't really prepare this morning. But there's this concept, right, that we are only going to play a role if we get recognized for it. See, there are moments in churches where we're scared to do things like Donna did this morning because we're afraid that we're going to offend somebody. See, somebody didn't get to sit up front this morning. I would have gladly given you my place, right? But somebody didn't get that. And so therefore, somehow Donna was slighting them. And somehow Donna sat home last night and she thought through, how can I slight these people? How can I offend them? How can I hurt their feelings? I'm going to put all their names in a song, which was out of this world, by the way. Thank you for that. Right? You see the talents when they come together. But how can I offend people? Like, there are people who sit home and they think, I bet Andy's just thinking of how he can get me today. Like, I'm going to come to church and he's going to speak right at me. Like, I spent all week not hanging tiles, but I spent thinking about you and how I could make you uncomfortable today. If you think that's the way it works, you think way too highly of yourself, you have a pride problem, and you need to go see Don, because he will talk to you about it. Right? Like, we don't do that. But there are moments where instantaneously, right, or just on the spur of the moment, and you know me to know that I love audibles. I love it when there's a plan. I love it when Donna walks in this morning and says, you see this section of songs, we're not doing it. And normally people think, like, that's going to throw somebody's world into chaos. And in mine, it's like, that's really cool because Donna's responding to something. She had the plan on Thursday. She gave it to me. And it changed. We like it when people respond. And that's the idea behind the dance. That there are moments where we say, hey, the dance can take a little turn this way. It can be something different. It doesn't have to be exactly as we planned it out. I bet you that if you ask Joe, did last night go exactly as you had planned it? If she was going to be really honest, instead of just honest, she would say, no, not exactly, because that would be a true statement. There are always moments where an audible comes up, where something is just a little bit different, and that's the idea behind the dance, and the idea behind the fact that if we're all playing our part, we can do that. Right, we can bring somebody else into it. Somebody can come to dinner that wasn't on the list to come to dinner because we're ready for that. Somebody can do something that we're ready for because we are all doing our part, and then it just fits in. The problem is if we get so stuck on what the dance should look like, it's up here, and we know what God does, how he does it all the time, then guess what? Friday hospital visits, those are really bad. Being able to spend, I spent a good portion of the last week of my grandmother's life with her at a hospital, as did the rest of my 100 friends, our family members. They gave us, it got so bad in the hospital, they gave us our own room to say, listen, we understand that you're not going to follow the 2x2 rule. Like, here, you know, take over this hospital bedroom, and you guys can be there and just visit as you want. But that doesn't happen if somebody goes, the rule says two. The rule says only two people can be in this room at a time. That doesn't happen. And so we have to be ready for the audibles of life. Now, let me transition to James chapter 3, which has nothing to do with what I just said. So I'm going to pray, and hopefully God will transition. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for opportunities to get to celebrate. Not what we've done. By our own power and in our own way and with our own preferences. But every once in a while, Lord, when we get it right, we want to celebrate what you have done through us. What you've done in spite of us, what you've done because of us, what you've done just because you are God and you choose to use us. So, Lord, we're thankful for that this morning. We just pray that you would open up your word to us. Help us, Lord, to hear from you. In your name, amen. James chapter 3, I'm going to do the overview of this. At some point down the road, Mr. Don Hoke is going to give you the real sermon on this. And I'm excited about that. But I wanted to hit on it because it's in our series. And if you have a subtitle, it should say something like Taming of the Tongue, right? Which is something that all pastors preach on, especially when they've just been yelled at by somebody in the church, and they want to prove a point. So let me read this to you. It says this, not many of you should presume to be teachers. My brothers, because you will know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That ought to scare you into not wanting to teach. That's not the point. The point is that James is saying, listen, if you're teaching the word of God, you better take it seriously. Because you will be held accountable for what you say. Hey, most of us walk around, we're worried about being held accountable for what we do. James ups the level a little bit and he says, listen, when it comes to Christianity, you're going to be held accountable for what you say. It's a good transition. We've just talked about last week the faith and the deeds things. And we've talked about there's a lot of people walking around that just say they're a Christian. They have some kind of a faith, they believe in God, but what they do doesn't show in any way, shape, or form that they actually believe what they say. And so then James goes a little bit further. Now he's going to be specific, and he's going to say, listen, when you're opening your mouth and you're going to talk about Jesus Christ, and when you're going to talk about who he is, what he's done, what he offers, what he did for us on the cross, you're going to be held accountable for that. You better make sure that it matches up with what Jesus said. You don't get to just make up your own Jesus, which is what most of us do from time to time. We have this great picture of who Jesus is in good moments. Today, it's a celebratory Jesus. Isn't it great what he did? Let me tell you that if the ceiling starts leaking right now because it's sunny out, we're all going to be questioning Jesus and what he's doing and why he's doing it. And isn't it funny that in celebratory moments, and we find this, the best example of this is with Elijah, right? And we go to 1 Kings chapter 18, you see that Elijah is having a celebratory moment, right? He built up an altar and he challenged 450 prophets. He said, why don't we prove whose God is real? And in the story, it said that, hey, Elijah, he kind of teased them a little bit. He egged them on. By the time they're done, the 450 prophets are all bloody. They've cut themselves. They've done all they can do. They're worn out. And that altar is just standing right there. The meat's on it. And nothing's happened. So Elijah, he prays to his God, and he does it really smartly, if that's a word. And he says this, he says, God, this is up to you. This isn't me. Do you have a chance, God, to prove to all these people that you are God? Does that sound familiar? When people are dealing with frustrations and financial problems and diseases and all kinds of other stuff, maybe our prayer should be, hey, God, this would be a really good opportunity for you to prove that you're God. And Elijah looks at this and he says, okay, prove it. And so he prays to God, but before he gets a little more audacious and a little bit more arrogant, and he says, how about if we pour some water on this altar? And so he pours the water on the altar, so much so that it's all along the bottom. And he prays to God, God sends down fire. Not only is everything gone on the altar, but all the water around. And God does an amazing thing. And Elijah, he's smart enough at this moment. The people are ecstatic. They're excited, just like last night. Let's go. Let's do anything. Do you think putting up a ceiling is good? Wait till you see what we're going to do next. And so Elijah has all 450 prophets put to death. And then one lady, no, nothing, do not infer in that. One lady says to Elijah and about Elijah, in 24 hours, you're going to be just like those prophets. You're going to be dead. And Elijah runs away. See, we have great moments that are sometimes followed by lesser moments, aren't they? A letdown. There should be a normal letdown of today. We've spent a lot of time getting ready for 125 years. Celebration. Like 125 years we've spent getting ready for that. And then there's a letdown when it's all done, and that's what happens with Elijah, and he starts fearing. See, his arrogant talk, this is who my God is, look at what he's doing, look at what he can do, was followed up with, one woman threatens my life, and my God cannot take care of that. Ever been there? But this is how big my God is, and what you're saying doesn't match up with what you're doing. I used to, in the 80s, there's a little phrase, at least down where we were, probably not up here. But it was this. It was, your mouth is writing a check that your body cannot cash. That's a great saying. Because for many of us, a lot of times our mouths have written a check that our bodies just cannot cash. We cannot do it. One of the most frustrating parts about work in general, but ministry specifically, is that you're always hearing people say, we're going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do this. And I wait by the phone for the phone call that I know is going to come about 80% of the time to tell me, well, something else came up, I can't do this. That's what happens. See, we get in moments, we talk to our wives, our husbands, we talk to our bosses, we talk to the people around us, and we talk. We write a check, but then we're not able to cash it. James says, be careful. Be careful that you're able to cash the checks that your mouth is writing. Be careful that what you're teaching is what you really believe. And he goes on and he makes the point. He says this, we all stumble in many ways. Be careful what you say, because there's a good likelihood you're going to stumble. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is perfect man. He is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Translated, man, If you think that your body can cash every check you write, you're a perfect man, aren't you? Or a perfect woman. I know some people that talk like they're pretty perfect. They got an answer for everything. They have an answer for everything, and most of the time, they are the answer for everything. Their mouth is always talking about what they've done, what they are doing, or what they could do. But when I look at what they've actually accomplished, it doesn't necessarily match up. So James says, be careful if you want to teach. Because there are people who are actually watching. We're in a political season, and I say it all the time, and I'll say it another time. It strikes me as absolutely crazy that we have two people who think they can say anything and that nobody's watching. Like, nobody is able to put one and one together. Now, I get that we live in a world where now one plus one is whatever you want it to be. But you can look at history. You can look at what a person's done in their life, and we're led to believe that all of a sudden people are just going to change. God can do that. God can change people. But there has to be a reason to change. And there has to be a desire to change. And so we look at people and we say, what you're saying, you're saying you want to do this, you're saying you're committed to this, you're saying Jesus is this, you're saying you love your family, you're saying that you're a good worker, you're saying all these things, but what your body's saying is that you're not that way. And people are smart enough to put one and one together or two and two together and figure it out. James goes on, he says this in verse 3, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. I'm not sure how many horses James rode, and I would say that 90% of the time that's true, but I've had a couple horses that you put a bit in their mouth and it's not necessarily that they're going to go where you want them to go. But for the most part, the idea is what counts, right? You take a horse, you put this bit in its mouth, and all of a sudden it does what you want it to do. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large, and I just got to say, when James wrote this, you imagine what a so large ship looked like. Probably not like the Titanic. Probably not like the Carnival cruise ships that we have today. But they're really big ships. But the concept is the same, isn't it? Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and it's in and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. We live in a world where we benefit from talking. We live in a world where the more I talk, or the better I talk, the higher I can be lifted up. We live in a world where I don't really have to do things, I just have to talk about doing things. I would challenge you this week to listen to what people are saying and then figure out whether or not they've actually done anything that they've said. If you look at the news or you look on television, all of these people who are role-playing, they play on the cop shows, then they play on reality television, which I don't quite get how it's a stage show that's reality, right? But you look at all of these things. The cooking shows that there was real cooking that happened, but it was then produced. and they took the scenes that they wanted to take from it, and they put it in front of us, and like it just all happened like that. We live in a world where it benefits people to talk. God wants us to be about walking. I love the other saying from the 80s, which is, you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? Can you walk what you're talking? And James says, no, you're going to stumble. However, that does not mean that you don't walk. And it doesn't mean that you don't talk. What it means is you talk less, which is really hard for people like me. You talk less. Now, I get that science says that women need to have 50,000 words a day. And I get that men only can use 25,000 words a day. So I get that, you know, there's a pretty big discrepancy right there. In my house, it's probably pretty much like Ruth gets 50,000 and I get like 49,000. But that's a lot of words to get out in a day. Right? God says, be careful how you talk. Be careful when you talk. Be careful where you talk. Be careful what you talk about. Because you will be accountable. We read this the other day. You will be accountable for every word that you say. Think that through. I'm really happy to be a man. 25,000 words I can be accountable for. Women, you speak all you want. 50,000 words that you will be accountable for. But James says, listen, in Christianity, there's lots of ways to stumble. There's lots of ways to fall. One of the biggest ways is with the tongue. The damage that can be done with the tongue is amazing. Turn with me if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 15. I want to summarize everything and be done because I'm cold. Starting with verse 1, it says this. That's a very nice picture. Then the Pharisees, or some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they came to Jesus from Jerusalem. So they sought him out, they found him, and they asked him this important question. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. If you had one question to ask Jesus, I bet it would be that question, wouldn't it? Why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat? Now, for some moms and people, that is a legitimate question. If you live on a hobby farm like I do, it's a legitimate question. Did you wash your hands before you touch me, before you eat anything, before you do anything? But they came all the way from Jerusalem for one question. There it is. How come your disciples aren't doing what we've said they need to do? Why aren't they following our rules, our interpretation of the rules? And this is what Jesus says to them. Jesus replied, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and your mother. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts, they're far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Jesus called the crowd to him and he said, listen and understand. That's why I say listen all the time. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. James is tying right in with what Jesus is talking about, isn't he? Jesus says, hey, you got some big problems because your words are creating a religion, a religious system that makes sense to man. That's what Isaiah says. That's what Jesus said. It's making sense to you. Do you understand that if Jesus makes sense perfectly to you, you're probably in big, big trouble? Because he didn't make sense to anybody he was around in any way, shape, or form. And that's what he says. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. So we have to be careful at who we put ourselves under, that we're not listening to rules by man that are being said are from God. So if you hear stuff out of my mouth, any deacon, deaconess's mouth, or anybody who's up here, and it sounds like it's their rules and not Jesus, you better do your homework and you better check it out. Because God says those are human rules and human teachings. And James says those who teach are going to be held accountable for what they teach. And so we put it all together. We say what you say is important. Jesus says it's not what goes in the mouth that makes you unclean. It's what comes out. You know what happens in the heat of battle? Do you know what happens when you're on your text and you're really mad at somebody and you're just sending what you really feel, and then you have to go back and apologize and say things that you don't really feel to make up for the things that you do really feel? You know what happens when you're in the heat of the battle with your family at home and all of a sudden that stuff that you don't want to come out just comes out, but it's what you've been feeling for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. You know what happens when you sit with your boss and you say to him, nobody cares about me. I've been working hard. I've been giving 50, 60 hours a week and nobody cares. Where'd that come from? Because in a real moment where you were really in control, you wouldn't really say it, would you? It's what's inside. It's what's been building up inside. Do you know most great healing moments within people come when they say the things that they're really feeling but they would not normally say, but they said it? And now it's out. And now all of a sudden it changes because it gives somebody an opportunity to respond and say, I didn't know you felt like that. I thought we were on the same page. Now I know. You see, we use our tongue to pretend that we're on the same page with people that we're not on the same page with. And then we use that same tongue when they're not around to go behind their backs and complain to everybody else. So we look at things and we say, wow, wasn't that wonderful? And we say it verbally. That was a great moment. That was wonderful. I'm all in. I'm committed. I'm here. I'm going to do. I'm going to help. And then behind the scenes, we're doing totally the opposite, aren't we? We look at our boss and we say, I'll do whatever you want. I got time to do that. But then behind the scenes, we're talking to people in a totally different way. Do you know the most damaging place in most businesses, most schools, most ministries is the lunch table? Do you know most damage happens to kids at lunch tables? People are free to talk about how they really feel. They tear apart each other at lunch tables. Did you hear this? They gossip at lunch tables. The same person that we say, man, that was great. We go home and we sit around our table and say, can you believe they said that? I could have done a much better job at that. We look at people and what we say and then what we do, it doesn't match up. We have the opportunity to speak into people's lives. So there's a song that my wife is always quoting and saying that we should sing, right? And it's called Speak Life. It's a Toby Mac song. Is it up there, Timothy? Wow, what is that? That's a beautiful thing. Does it come with words? Speak Life lyrics. There we go. Look at these lyrics with me. Who came up? Did you just do that? You did that all by yourself? Hey, wow, cool. All right, so look at this. Some days, life feels perfect. Other days, it just ain't working. I really want to write for you, but I'm not. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between, right? It's crazy amazing. We can turn a heart through the words that we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. Jesus said, you speak to that mountain, and guess what? It can move. He wasn't talking necessarily just about literal mountains. He's talking about the mountains in our lives. When's the last time that you spoke life into somebody or you spoke to somebody about that which was in their life? And you said, you know what? Let's move that mountain in your life. You're right. So Bill stands up here and Bill says, pray for our family. We're traveling 45 minutes. When have a church have we said, let's speak into that. Let's do something about that. Right? And everybody else, you heard a bunch of prayer requests today. Did we speak life into those prayer requests? Listen, my God is bigger than a forever cancer around a stomach liner. What the doctors have said, you're always going to have to deal with. It's just going to keep coming back. My God says, no, you don't. No, you don't. I made that. But it means that you and I may have to speak some life into somebody. So we're not going to believe that. Listen, our God is big enough that if he decides that that's still going to happen, that's all right. He'll take care of the person. But it doesn't have to be that way. Do you look around you and say, does it have to be this way? Or do you speak into things? No, it doesn't have to be that way. So there's the course, speak life. Speak life to the deadest, darkest night in somebody's life. They come to you and they look at you and they say, this is what I'm going through. And you speak life to them. When the sun won't shine and you don't know why, look into the eyes of the brokenhearted, watch them come alive. As soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak life. There are people that are sitting around, whether it's at school, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's right here, right now, whether it's at your home, that are inside dying. And they want you to speak life to them. But most of the time, we speak a reality, sort of, rather than just speaking life to them. Or we speak life to them publicly, but behind the scenes, man, they're getting what they deserve. And God says this in James chapter 5, which we're going to get to. And God says, when you're going through tough times, call the elders and their faith, the faith of the elders, their belief will heal you. So how's that work when somebody walks up to you and you say, I'll pray for you, but then behind the scenes you're going to say, well, they really deserve that. You see, part of speaking life is you have no right. Let me say that one more time. You have no right to decide whether somebody deserves something or not. None. Zero. Zilch. When you look at somebody and you decide that you have the right to decide whether they deserve something or they don't, that's called judgment. Now you've crossed the line. When they're not using their resources wisely and you say to them, you might be able to use your resources a little better, that's accountability. That's all right. But when you look at somebody and you have the audacity to say, either up here, in here, or out loud, heaven forbid, you deserve that. You deserve to be in jail. You deserve to have cancer. You deserve to be financially destitute because you didn't spend your money wisely. God says, okay, the way you judge is the way you're going to be judged. So let me start talking to you about what you deserve. Ladies and gentlemen, what we deserve from God, it's a lot worse than what other people might deserve because of what they've done to you. We speak life into people. I know people every day that are facing unbelievable things, most of which they brought upon themselves. Do I have a choice? I can sit with them and I can say, I know you're facing jail. I know you're facing a divorce. You deserve it. If I were your wife, I would leave you too. If I were your husband, I would go find a better option. There is a better option, by the way. Or I can look at them and I can say, regardless of what you did or how you got here, God is bigger. God loves you. God loves you does not mean he's going to make everything all better right away. The pain might still be there. You might still get in jail. You might still get divorced. You might still lose your house. You might still lose everything. But God is bigger, and he promises that he can give it all back, that he can do whatever he wants to do. We speak life. Is there a second verse to that, Timothy? Did you? No? Oh, there it is. Some days the tongue gets twisted. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from our lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. Let me sum it up and close it with this. You have the power We have the power as a church family. I love what Savannah said. I think she summed it up well. She stole my sermon too. You have the power. You have the power to bring hope and love and peace and joy, kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control into people's lives. You have that ability. But what it means is that you have to remember moment by moment that you have that ability, and what you say matters. How you say it matters. Truth without love is brutality. Just for the record. Just because something's true does not mean you have a right to say it or say it the way that you're going to say it. So we need to understand that. There are appropriate places. There are appropriate ways. There are appropriate times to do things and to say things. But it is important that we understand all that. It is important that we understand that we're smart enough in this little group of people to be watching each other. Don't write checks that your body cannot cash. You're going to let people down. And when you let people down, hurt happens. And when hurt happens, people start thinking. And when people start thinking, they start developing an attitude. And when they start developing an attitude, it will turn into action. That's how that process works. Back it up and do it for yourself and you'll figure it all out. Thoughts bring about attitudes. Attitudes will always bring about actions at some point. So we look at things. We say how we talk to one another is important. When we talk to each other is important. That we're not just looking for a stage to talk. We're looking for a place to walk. Does that make sense? That we understand that in the heat of battles, people are going to talk. They're going to say things that they don't mean, but you can't take it back. See, forgiveness, you heard me say this, and I will absolutely close with this. Forgiveness, it's not that you actually forgot anything. It's that you choose to act like you have forgotten. You see, you can never take back the hurt words that people say to you. You can't. And the chances that somebody is going to forget them is pretty slim, especially since you have an enemy who's going to be consistently reminding you of what they said. You know, this is how this person really feels, right? You know, this is what this person really thinks. Forgiveness means that you choose to walk in here Sunday after Sunday and act as if you have forgotten that which you probably have not. That's profound. That's impossible without Jesus Christ. You have the opportunity to speak life into people, to speak life into situations, to give people hope where there is no hope. Not hope that everything is going to be okay, hope that they have a God who's big enough to get them through whatever they're going through. That's a big difference. False hope, that's brutality also. We look at things. We choose to speak life. So here's my challenge to you this week. I challenge you this week to catch yourself every time you start talking about yourself and listen to other people. Listen to what other people are saying. Don't get into that. I had an aunt once, and I'm just sure it's a normal thing, who every time you told her a story, she immediately told you a story about her kid. And it was so frustrating because all you wanted to do was tell her something, but then you had to listen. Want you to listen. But choose this week at the moments where you could speak death into something. To hear the voice of Toby Mac, go to Amazon, go to Google, go to iTunes and buy the song. Or I might have to sing it to you next week. Or Timothy will play it at the end of the service. However, choose to speak life into people and see how your week will be different. See how your attitude, your actions at home and at work and all over the place will be different. When you choose, you could say the negative thing and you choose to speak life. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you for the patience, for the love of these people. Lord, your word is sharp. Lord, it is a double-edged sword. It pierces to the very soul, to the very core of who we are. Lord, what we say usually comes from what we've been thinking about. Lord, when we're frustrated, it comes out. When we're hurt, it comes out. When we have hate and anger, it comes out. But Lord, we can replace those things with love. And when we have love and peace and joy, when we truly see others as you see them, Lord, we can do amazing things. We can choose to speak life into situations where really all we want to do is speak death. We can care about people and about situations that we wouldn't normally care about. Lord, give us that ability as a church. In your name, amen.